The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I'll be speaking in this second service on Grace for Divine Lifting, part 2. And also, we'll be praying for all firstborn and all male children in this service also. I might not be able to go through all that I spoke on in the first service because of the non-availability of time, but I will try to just touch just one or two things, and then we will go into the second service proper. Grace is a major thing that results in the lifting of a believer. What is grace? Grace is the invisible personality of God that gives meaning to life. Grace is the help and assistance of God for a man. Psalm 122 verse 1. Number 3, what is grace? Grace is divine leverage. Grace is divine leverage. If you didn't come in the first service, you can just write it down. It's right on the screen. Number 4, grace is the lifter of man. Well, in this service, I will go further to give us some more definitions of grace. Grace is God in the race. Grace is G-R-A-C-E. Grace is God in the race. Life is a race. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. Know ye not that all run in the race, but one obtaineth the prize. So run that you might obtain the prize. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. Life is a race. Year 2021 is here. On your mark, get set, go. The race begins. It is grace that makes the race to be easy. Well, I've been sent by God to you today. The race of 2021 shall be easy for you. The race of 2021 shall be easy for you. What is grace? Grace is the lifter of man. And of course, grace is the finger of God. Grace is the finger of God. After the children of Israel refused to, the Egyptians refused to allow the children of Israel to go, he said, let them go. He said, I will not let them go. Let them go. I will not let them go. After God began to send all sorts of things against the Egyptians said, Exodus chapter 8 verse 19. Exodus 8 verse 19. Say, this is the finger of God. Grace is the finger of God in the life of a person. Grace is, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. What will be lifting you from now on? I said, what will be lifting you from now on? So the grace of God is the finger of God. That is what will be protecting you. That is what will be lifting you. That is what will be guiding you. That is what will be pushing blessings to you. Hello. There's anything we need is the grace of God. If not that I've stopped having children, if I had another child, I would have named the girl child Grace. Yeah? But that one is not in this. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are laughing, Abby. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is profitable to... What is in grace? In the first service, I gave us five. Five things in grace. Number one, termination of struggles. Termination of struggles. Grace terminates struggles. Number two, what is in grace? Resurrection of dead things, dead businesses, dead systems, dead GP. Somebody's GP that is crawling will jack back to life. Somebody's GP that is crawling will jack back to life. Number three, what is in grace? Success without sweat. Success without sweat. Number four, what is in grace? Recognition and acceptance. Number five, what is in grace? The moving of mountains. Moving of mountains. Well, that's a brief summary of first service. And I told us, went further to show us two major people that enjoy the grace of God. I spoke on a man called Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, enjoying lavishly the grace of God. Also, I spoke extensively on Paul, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. He was a man that enjoyed the grace of God. I'll call also Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But, well, I can't go into all that because of time. And right now, the grace of God will be upon somebody again in Jesus' name. I say the grace of God will rest on somebody again in Jesus' name. If you are that person, say a louder amen. Yeah. Galatians 1:15 and 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. Well, let's go quickly to the second service proper. What is in the grace of God? You can call it number 6. What is in the grace of God? Answered prayers is in the grace of God. The grace of God is what brings answers to your prayers. I know he answers prayers. I know he answers prayers. The God I serve answers prayers. Only Jesus answers prayers. I know he answers prayers. I know he answers prayers. The God I serve answers prayers. Only Jesus answers prayers. He's a prayer answering God. It is his grace that launches us into the realm of answered prayers. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 17. Exodus 33, verse 17, the Bible is saying, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing, and also that which thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace. He has found what? Grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I will do what you have told me to do. You have found grace in my sight. I will answer your prayer. I will answer your secret prayer. Your secret prayer shall become a public testimony. Your secret prayer shall become a public testimony. Friends, if there's anything you are to cry for today, it's grace. Father, I need your grace. I need your grace. Because that is what makes all the difference. It's not just using your head to beat table. It's not just going to mountain of 670 staircase. Grace, where you are, will bring about answers to your prayers. And today, God will be answering somebody's prayer in the name of Jesus. If you are that person, say a bigger amen. Number 7, what is in grace? Surprises. Somebody say surprises. I can't hear you. Say surprises. As many ladies that like surprises, let me hear you say surprises. Oh yeah, surprises. I've never seen a woman that doesn't like surprises. Just show me one woman that doesn't like surprises. And these surprises are a product of God. If God doesn't touch the heart of your husband, he can't give you any surprise. If God doesn't touch the heart of anybody, they can't give you surprise. Psalms 34, verse 4 and verse 5. Psalms chapter 34. I saw the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You will not be ashamed in Jesus' name. When grace is at work, your life becomes a surprise. When grace is at work, you are never ashamed because you become a surprise. You become a surprise to your world. Is she the same person? Is it the same person? Is it the same lady? Is it the same person? Before we finish March, first quarter of 2021, your life will become a surprise to everybody. Oluwa Monti Oshe, Jesu mi Monti Oshe, Emi mi mo Monti Oshe, O Taye mi yo fi dara. Oluwa Monti Oshe, Jesu mi Monti Oshe, Emi mi mo Monti Oshe, O This week, one of the men working with me in the church here came to me and said, "Sir, I want to ask you a question. Were you singing when you were very small? Because the way you just sing, we don't even get ready for you. You just sing." I said, "It's grace." I said, "It's grace. I showed you today. The song I was supposed to use to start this service, this second service, was the first song that the person that led here sang. Grace." The connection with grace makes everything very easy. It's just very easy. I don't have any struggles. I'm just flowing in His grace. Just flowing in His grace. And that is why I know, under this same umbrella, you will flow in endless grace in the name of Jesus. You will flow in the grace of God in the name of Jesus. So grace makes you a surprise. Number 8, grace brings lifting. Grace is the lifter of man. No man can gain height without grace. The more the grace of God available to you, the more lifting in life and destiny. Grace is what lifts you from nowhere to somewhere. Grace is what takes you from the peak, from the pit to the peak, peak, pit, P-I-T, to the peak, P-E-A-K. Grace is what brings you from the pit under the ground and suddenly takes you to the top. That is what can bring a person from being a prisoner and turn him into a prime minister overnight. Somebody say overnight. So overnight today, God will change your story. Overnight today, God is changing 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 your story. Somebody say a louder amen. That's what grace does. He just turns your life around. Please take your seat. He just turns your life around. Get set. This is the way we say it's play, play. And I was asking God recently, very recently, I said, "God, how come when I pray for some people, instantly they get what they are doing?" When I ask, pray for some people, he said, the level of their faith in what you are saying is what determines how I will answer them. I said, "Hey." I said, "If they don't believe, if they are so used to it, pastor must bless us. He must pray for us." What was the work of a pastor before if he cannot pray for somebody? He said, when you become so casual with it, you can even be pressing phone while your pastor is preaching. So when your own word comes, if my own pastor is preaching to me, if you tap me, I won't answer you. If you tap me, say, "Hey," I'll say, because I'm ready. He must say something that must change my life. I must catch something. I didn't come for kidding so that I will not end up in the kitchen. So get it. Today, your life will become lifted in the name of Jesus. Number 9, what is in grace? Sufficiency. Someone say sufficiency. Aha, sufficiency. Sufficiency is in grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. For the sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. For God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that ye may always have in all sufficiency, in all things, may abound to every good work. God is a God of sufficiency. God is not struggling to bless you. He's not looking for what to use to bless you. He's a sufficient God. Sufficiency means abundance. The Bible says, "He will make all grace," all what? All grace abound towards you. All grace. All grace abound towards you. He will make all grace abound towards you. He's not looking. He doesn't want you to be scratching the ground. Let me shock you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, the Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor. Okay, if he became poor, why will you now become poor again? Ah, that's double jeopardy. That's double problem. That's double wahala. Somebody say, God forbid. So, what we are talking about is that grace is what brings supplies to you. Stretch your hands here. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I decree supplies on these hands today. Whatever you need to make your life sweet, wonderful, enjoyable, whatever you need that will make your life wonderful, take it this morning in the name of Jesus. Take it this morning in the name of Jesus. Take it this morning in the name of Jesus. No hand stretched forth shall ever lack what to eat. Money will not ever become a problem or concern to you again. Money will never become a concern to you again. Money will never become a concern to you again. Say a louder amen. That's what grace does. Grace brings sufficiency. You just enjoy surplus. Please, can I get something there? It doesn't happen with grace. As from today, that is the realm you'll be operating from. That is the realm you'll be operating from. That is the realm you'll be operating from. You will be a blessing to your nation, a blessing to your community. Before your parents ask, you will have enough to give them. Before your parents ask, you have more than enough to give them. Somebody say a big amen. Before your spouse will ask for something, you will have many things to give to her. Say a big amen. I'll be talking more about that next week when we're talking about the family. Because you see, there is no honey without money. Next week you will hear something. There is no what? There is no honey without... Oh God. Hallelujah. There is somebody here today, you know go lack money. I say you know go lack money. Now so we dey say I'm for worry. For worry we know they play. You know go lack money. In the name of Jesus. It looks funny and it sounds funny, but it's the truth. No matter how much your landlord loves you, if you don't pay rent, problem starts. No matter how the bossa of the University of Ilorin likes you, or Poli likes you, if you don't pay school fees, wahala go gas. Oh yeah. As from today, all these things will become easy through grace. Number 10. What is in grace? Fulfillment and greatness. Fulfillment and greatness is in grace. God wants you to be great. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts I have towards you, the thoughts of good, and not the thoughts of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God wants you to be great, but it takes grace to be great. And for somebody here today, you'll be great in Jesus' name. Examples of people that enjoyed grace, number one, I said Paul. Number two, I said Noah. But in this third service, I'll be showing us more people that enjoy the grace of God. I have many more here, but I'll just pick just another two. Moses was a man of grace. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, Bible says Moses was 120 years when he died. His eyes did not grow dim, and his natural strength was not abated. 120 years, he was still strong, kakaraka. If Moses enters a bedroom with a woman, she will come out smiling. At 120. He was not a vegetable. He was not, they were not calling him Papa, Papa, Moses, Papa, Papa, Papa. No. He was very agile. Very agile at 120. Very agile at 120. His natural strength was not abated. He was standing strong. It was just that God called him home to come and rest. At 175, Abraham was still on horseback in battle. 175. Somebody is here today, you will be very, very strong all the days of your life. Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14. Isaac enjoyed grace. Genesis 26, verse 12 to 14. And Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year. And how do you sow in a land and receive 100 times what you sowed in the same year? That's the somebody say grace. He received 100 times what he sowed in that year. Verse 13, please. Thank you, Lord. And the man works great. That is you. Are you sleeping? I said the man works great. That is you. And he went forward. That is you again. And he grew until he became very, very great. And that is you in the name of Jesus. He works great. He went forward. And he grew until suddenly he became the envy of everybody. Get set. Men will begin to spy on you because of your greatness. I say men will begin to spy on you because of your greatness. How do you assess this grace? In the first service, I told us humility and of course obedience. Another way to increase the grace of God upon your life is through prayer. Then you can pray yourself into multiplied grace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, men always ought to pray and not to faint. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9 verse 29, as Jesus prayed, his countenance was changed. Your prayer life fuels grace in your life. Your prayer life changes your life. It just changes your life. The more you pray, the more the grace. The more you pray, the more the grace. The more you pray, that's why the devil's attempt is to frustrate your prayer life. These days, I'll smart the devil very well. I just keep my phones on silent or just leave them in the car. And then tirelessly, I'm engaged in prayer. Because haven't you noticed the exact time you want to pray is the exact time call will come in. If it has happened to you, shout hallelujah. So you have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself. And you pray in the right position. If you pray on your bed with new bed sheets, you will sleep like anything, like somebody that just drank Milo. You just laid new bed sheets. Music is playing. The light is dim. And you say you want to pray. You will not spend 10 minutes before you sleep. You will not spend... Do you know the reason why I pray on my feet? The way I walk during the day, if I pray on my bed at night, I will sleep. So, the day is so loaded. There's no free time. No free time from morning. So, if I now say I want to pray, okay, let me pray with pillow, I will sleep. And that's not right. Your prayer life, where's Jesus? Where is your face over this matter? Oh Lord, empower me for this work. Oh Lord, help me to become outstanding in these studies. Oh God, grace me for my assignment as a mother. I mean, you are engaging. Somebody say engaging. You are engaging on a tireless basis. You are engaging. Your leg says no. You say relax leg first. Let me first talk to God first. Relax. Back says I'm aching. You say no, relax back. Neck says you are looking. You say no, neck relax first. I am engaging. You are engaging. Nothing moves until the sequel of prayer is added. I was telling them here on Friday night during our special prayer squad meeting. And then some people were not praying very well. I just took the mic from the person. I said, this is the third or fourth prayer session here today in this church. Don't think this prayer we are praying now is what will move the church forward. This for your own good. Before you came, we only invited you to engage you and to make your prayer life more vibrant. It's not that you're praying now is what will move the church forward. Oh, forget. It's just to make you a benefactor and a beneficiary of God's magnanimity. It's not that that's your prayer. When we say pray for the church, now, And we say, oh yeah, pray for yourself. Now begin to pray well. You don't have wisdom. Pray for yourself that dollar will come. You begin to pray. Pray that souls will be won. Souls be one. So it didn't look like a sound, like jazz music. Eh? It's because of lack of understanding. If you want lifting and you want grace, engage yourself. Engage yourself. If you come for a prayer banquet, if we pray 10 prayer points, 7 or 8 will be for others. Maybe 2 or 3 will be for people that are there. Because we have understanding. And that's why the grace keeps increasing. From today, the grace of God shall be multiplied in your life. This week, I want to challenge you. Engage yourself in prayer. If you feel weak at home, come to church. That's why the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. I believe that's Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So if you feel weak or feel tired, come to church in the place of prayer. You will see God just empowering you in the place of prayer. You are just engaged and your lifting becomes endless. Very soon, people will look up before they can see you. They'll be feeling formed to see you very soon. Your prayer life will skyrocket your life. Say a bigger amen. Amen. Say a bigger amen. Amen. The people of the other side, they know how to engage themselves very well. Believers will be doing like as if we have all the time in the world. If you see the people of the other side, the way they pray, this is Lenten period now. If you see them during their own fast, you will see them the last few days, 10 days or so, they will not even see anybody. They'll be inside, they'll be doing from morning to night. Believers, during ordinary prayer times, they will not want to pray. Say, I know my pastor is praying for me. My mommy is praying for me, I know. Mommy, you want to? Mommy has her own mamicious problems. She cannot even remember you sometimes. Hallelujah. Somebody is here today. Your prayer life and my prayer life shall be reignited. Say louder, amen. Our prayer life shall be reignited. Our prayer life shall be reignited. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Let me just give us one more how to assess the grace of God. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Neither has it come to the heart of man what God has in store for them that love him. The love of God always bats grace. Once God sees that you love him, he will increase his grace upon your life. Love is the strongest force on earth. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13. Now there abided faith, hope and love, which is also called charity. But the greatest of them all is charity, which is also called love. The greatest thing you can have is to be a loving person. Anointing, good. Strength, strong, very good. But the greatest thing you can have is to be a loving person. And there is a spirit of love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There's a spirit of love. Let that spirit enter you today. I say, let that spirit enter you today. That is the spirit that drives you to God. That is the spirit that makes you to want to serve God. That is the spirit that wants you to want to do God's will. That is the spirit that you need to become the lover of God. The spirit of God. Today, that spirit of God is coming upon somebody in the name of Jesus. I can't finish this outline because of non-availability of time. We'll look more on another day. But let's quickly round up with the second session of this ministration this morning. God has a plan for all firstborn and all sons. He wants them blessed. He specifically chose them. Exodus 13 verse 2. Exodus 13 verse 2. Sanctify unto me all firstborn. Whosoever opened the matrix among the children of Israel, both male and female and beast, they are mine. That anybody that is a firstborn, God said, you are mine. For example, I'm a firstborn. I never wanted to be a pastor. That was not in my plan. I remember when I was in university, I've told you the story severally. I used to run away from, particularly when I was in the Polytechnic, I told you the story before. They wanted me to get a position in my church. I ran. I just said, I'm coming. I just ran. So I escaped a little bit. When I entered university, the same thing. And as I was running, God was pursuing me. He said, You are mine. When this ministry was about to start, God will wake me up in the night. Say, you are sleeping. I gave you assignment. You are sleeping. I told you to go and do impact. You are sleeping. My friend, will you wake up? That's what brought us here today. It's not a personal choice. So if it's a personal choice, maybe you will not be here. But it's a divine calling. How many of you can leave a salary job of millions of naira? Millions. Not 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million. I don't want to mention the amount. With official car and everything, I say, you want to go and start a church with just you, your wife, and your children. How many of you can do that? With zero income, no leaders, no followers, no usher, no, this is not a breakaway ministry. It's not that a crash war ministry. No. When this ministry started, my wife was the one that used to mop the floor when we get to the place where we started from, mop all the floor. Rain, we started in June. Rain would have been there, mop everywhere, sweep all the rain, clean all the chairs. We bought about 20 chairs to start with. That 20 chairs, more than 14, 15 will be empty on Sunday morning. Out of hallelujah. Somebody is here today. The grace of God will be speaking for you. The grace of God will be speaking for you. God wants to bless all the male children and all the firstborn. He wants to bless them. He wants to change their life. That is his intention. That's why when God wanted to deal with the Egyptians, in Exodus 12, verse 29, he killed all their firstborn. He knows the pain of male children and killing of firstborn. He killed all their firstborn. The Bible said there was pain throughout Egypt. Everywhere in Egypt, there was pain. That's why the devil is after all the male children. He doesn't want them to do well. He wants them to go into manja wiwi. He wants them to have many wives, like Solomon. Before now, in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, you know the story very well. The Bible says, and Solomon loved the Lord. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. He loved the Lord and the Lord blessed him. But suddenly, in 1 Kings 11, from verse 1, and Solomon loved many strange women. He just departed. You will see all male children. He will be doing jam will be jamming him. Jam will be jamming him. If the male child doesn't, firstborn, doesn't enter university, the other ones are not stimulated, motivated, pushed to even enter university. Then they start from a Pepti Academy. They go and be learning drama there. Because they are not motivated. They look for one mushroom school somewhere. Say, ah, but that is not moving. Why do I want to make progress? But today, the trend is changing. As from today, the trend is changing. As from today, the trend is changing. As from today, there is a change of story in concerning your firstborn and your male children. Women, be praying for your husband. In these times, men need prayer. There are so many things out there to derail a man, that your life will just be rubbish. As in, no, the life we have no bearing. We're speaking about that on Wednesday. On the things that will give your life a bearing and lifting in life. Wednesday, brutal service. Several points that God will be showing us on how we are going to be supernaturally lifted, be supernaturally lifted with a life of purpose and purposefulness. So that is how it is. Somebody is wondering, why are men always having issues? Why are men always? This is the issue. Devil knows that if the boy in your family is okay, the family is okay. He knows that that first girl, that firstborn, if she can be okay and her home is okay, others will be okay. He knows. That's why there is a target. Devil tried my life many times. There are some testimonies there. If I share with you, you will know that it's just the help of God. It's just the help of God. So in this service today, we want to pull down the stronghold, stopping our men from becoming somebody. You see men of 40 years, approaching 50 years, living like vagabonds. The playboys of yesterday are still the playmen today. I mean, how can somebody be 30 years, you don't have a bearing? As a man, 40 years, you don't have a bearing. Say, where are you going? What's your purpose? What's your vision? Where are you going? What's your plan? He said, I don't even know. Anything that will happen, let it happen. Anything that will happen, let it happen. What will happen, you will not like it. John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy cometh, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, as I close today, it's now led for you to engage in prayer. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, was supposed to be very great. Genesis 49, verse 2. Gather yourself. Let me show you what will happen to you in the future. And he went to Reuben first. Reuben, wonderful boy. My firstborn. Excellency of strength. Excellency of power. My firstborn. He said, but unstable as water. Firstborn and male children, they are target. Jacob self has even said that thing before he even realized that. What did I even say here? And that affected the lineage of Reuben. My prayer this morning is that whatever is troubling your lineage will not affect your children. Whatever is affecting your lineage will not affect your children. Whatever is affecting the firstborn in your family, whatever is affecting the male children in your family, will not affect your own family. So shall it be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Give Jesus a big clap. He's worthy of our praise.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.